Don't have too many announcements except that our church event yesterday went really well. I think it sounded like it went well. I think everybody had a good time. The ladies involved, the ladies that were there. So it was neat to hear that, because when you hear things like that, you know God is glorified, and it's a blessing to be able to have people that can go with the right motivation to go do a church function like that and have, you know, that impact in a place like that. It's neat. And of course the kids, you know, there's a lot to absorb in that kind of environment. So it's good for them to be around those kinds of things. So anyways, thank y'all for doing that, and thank y'all for having them over there. It was a blessing. So, but that's the main thing I wanted to say. And just the deacons meeting is on November. What would that be? What are we in? November, at the end of November, the 20th? Okay, the 17th. That's one way to trip me up. Is to exclude the date. Lord's Supper is on December 29th, and that's where we'll be. So, I guess we'll go ahead and dismiss the children. And I know Lane is not here, but thank her as well, Edie, because I know that wasn't the easiest thing to get together. So there's stress involved with those things as well. Okay, good. Well, I'll tell her. Here we are to our new subject, evangelism. Evangelism, number one and number two. And I figured, you know, since we just got done with application, why not talk about evangelism? What a perfect, carry on to application. You know, technically, if we're applying, we should be getting into evangelism, or at least realizing what our role is in it, right? Because we all definitely have a role. So before we get going, let's take a moment of prayer. And we'd like to take advantage of 1 John 1:9, which tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So all that means is that you can go to Him and simply name the sins that you can recall. That is, of course, in the privacy of your, you know, individual priesthood. And He then forgives and cleanses you, and that's a grace blessing, because we take advantage of it every day. And then I'll say a prayer and we will get going. So let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the time that we have today. Thank you for the word, the study material that you've provided us to know and to learn and to live in this world in which we find ourselves. We thank you for the ability to come to know you and to have a personal relationship with you through Jesus Christ. This is the pinnacle of our life, and we just thank you so much for the work and the sacrifice that He made on our behalf. I ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are to a refreshing new topic, right? We all like a new topic. I feel like sometimes some of you like a new topic every day, but we can't do that. That would be very difficult, and I don't think anything would really stick, you know, if we did a new topic every other day or every other class that we were here, although that would be very interesting. But here we are to evangelism. And, you know, this topic, of course, topics don't come to me by accident. I think God is certainly involved in the process, right? And this is no different. And the reality is that we really have no excuse for not knowing about evangelism. I think this comes with the role that you find yourself in as a Christian, evangelism. It comes with the territory, right? And so with that being said, you know, when I say that, everybody kind of looks at me and says, well, that's your job, Pastor, or that's the evangelist's job, or that's the guy in the ministry's job, right? And I get that, right? But that's not true. It's actually everybody's job that is a believer in Jesus Christ and that holds that ministry within their soul. And so we all have a responsibility here, and I think we've all partially understand that we have that responsibility. But again, that's not something to get nervous about, because just like everything else in life, God has given us and gives us the food, the preparation, the things that we need to be able to do and serve Him in a way that He wants us to serve. So it's nothing to get nervous about. It's actually something to get excited about, because I think that's one of the reasons for this study, is so we can not only just know what evangelism is and know that we have a part, but how are we to think when it comes to our role in taking part in it? And that you know, there's a lot there, because you're dealing with other people, right? You're dealing with strangers. You're dealing with circumstances that you're not sure about. You're dealing with emotions. You're dealing with different backgrounds of people. You're dealing with all these things, and you've got to all, you know, absorb these things and have them in your mind, and at the same time, stick to the purpose that you're there for. So yeah, it's a good, interesting topic. And I'm glad we're talking about it, because it's one of those things. And you might be wondering, well, why do all Christians, you know, why is that something that all Christians have to do? And the answer to that is because it's needed. It's needed, and it's desperately needed. And if you take, you know, individual people and you say, well, they can do that, or he can do that, or they know more about that than me, so that they can do it, we don't have enough. We've got to have every believer that is, the more believers that are capable of doing this, the better off we are, because you're the ones that go out into the world, right? You're the ones that go out. The people, the believers go out. We go out into the world and we find ourselves in unique situations. And it's a lot of times, you know, we look back, hindsight's 20/20, right? But we look back and you say, you know, that was an opportunity that was missed. How many times have you done that? Many times. Many times. We've all done it. And so if we can start to identify those before, you know, we look back and say, well, that was an opportunity missed, the better off we are, because God is trying to use people. And the you know, drive of this series is preparation. To serve in at least that part of what God and how He wants us to serve in this area. And I'm not saying you're going to go be an evangelist. You know, we'll see in the scripture that there is a gift of evangelism as well, in addition to the believer's responsibility to evangelize. So there is two things to that. You know, everybody's not a Billy Graham. You know, we understand that. We get that. But there are maybe some in here. So you need to be aware that there is the gift of evangelism, and at the same time, we do have a role to evangelize the unbelieving world, right? So anyways, there's a lot here, and there's a lot of people in the world that are lost. Actually, I think it's safe to say the majority of the people in the world are lost. You're the minority. And, you know, if we really understand that, and we need to get to the point where we understand how to think about these things, because different people need to be evangelized in different ways. And I'm not talking about the source core message. I'm talking about how we present that message, Different backgrounds may require different, you know, flavor of, you know, understanding that you need to portray to the people that you're talking to. Because some people may not have a clue about who Jesus is. Some people do have a clue, and some people grew up in the church, and they're still not saved. At least by faith alone, in Christ alone. So we have to know how to present, how to talk, how to relax. Application. See, we just talked about application for that very reason. Because now we should be able to apply the things that God is showing us in His Word to be able to do this. I think that's what it really does for you. It allows you to be calm and just let God take control of the circumstance that you find yourself in and be able to confidently, boldly, and calmly present or talk about your faith. And that's important, right? We all want to do that. We all want to be a part of that. And obviously, we all want to know what God wants us to do and how He wants us to think in those times. Because, you know, there's so many things that we try to think about, right? What are they going to be like? What, you know, we get wrapped up in what we're going to say. You know, we get so nervous. We get torn up about times. They're not here. How am I going to tell them about what I wanted to tell them about? You know, God's timing is really, really a real thing. And so if we don't realize that it is real, we will not be able to get in the rest, remember, that we just talked about, that we apply to be able to evangelize, at least in the mindset that God wants us to be in. So honestly, I believe many Christians are interested in this topic, but at the same time, many Christians are shirking their responsibility to partake in it. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because I do think we have to learn, we have to grow, we have to get to the point where we get here. I mean, that's just part of it, right? You don't take a new believer and tell them to go evangelize. You've got to learn, you have to grow, you have to be comfortable, you have to be confident in who you are and your position in Christ. I think that's the most important thing. You've got to be comfortable as a Christian. There is something that comes with this, and it's not being ashamed of who you stand for and what you and who you stand with as far as your faith goes, right? If you're intimidated, well, that will show, right? So not a big deal, because we all experience those things. We all experience those things. But what I want you to get is that it's not a coincidence that all of us are to partake in it, and that we should be aware of that. So I think an interesting part of this study is that, and it's not a coincidence, that we're actually commanded to put on the full armor of God. Do you realize that the gospel message is part of the armor of God? It is. It is. You know, I didn't really pay that much attention, but it is. Until recently. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Remember, we're talking about the armor of God. Of course, everybody forgets verse 15. Let's just talk about the helmet. Let's talk about the breastplate. Let's talk about the sword, right? We don't need to talk about what we put on our feet. That's not a big deal. It's actually a very big deal. It's not only a command to put on the full armor of God, right? But this is part of the armor. This is in the section where Paul is talking about this very thing. And did you catch that last part in verse 15? It says we are to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. We don't use that word a lot, you know, in today's English, but it means to tie or to bind underneath. You know, kind of like the idea with your shoes. You make sure that they don't come off, right? You don't see a lot of shoes laying around all over the street because people bind them to their feet, right? The idea is so that they don't come off. They stay secured. And if you notice, you don't. So that's the idea here, is there's something bound close to you to the point where it doesn't come off. That's what the verse is trying to portray here. Which, by the way, shoes stay on until we take them off. Normally, right? Except those ones you see over the power lines. I'm sure those weren't by choice. One of your buddies tie them together and throw them all. Whoop! Go get them. So, and I think the idea is that they go wherever you go. Your shoes go with you wherever you go. And they don't come off. And that's the idea. We are to bind or bound ourselves with being prepared with the gospel wherever we go. Wherever we go. Just like your shoes. Just like your shoes you put on, you tie them, and they don't come off. That's how we're to be with this preparation of the gospel. So that's the point of shodding. You're the one that makes sure the shoes stay in place because you will need them and you will need to take them wherever you go. And actually, you pick the shoe. You pick the shoe. So, you know, you can make a lot of points on all the analogies, but the point I'm trying to make is sometimes we wear the wrong shoes for, you know, some occasion. Like these don't work. Usually it's the girls. They show up in flip-flops when you need tennis shoes. I mean, come on. We're walking 5 miles. What are you doing in flip-flops? I don't ever understand that, but it happens time and time again. So part of preparation is realizing that we've got to be prepared before we leave, or before you get to the place, or before you start the journey, or before you, you know, begin wherever you're going to go and do. You got to be prepared. And shoes are a good example of that because you put them on before you leave, right? You put them on before you leave. If you need boots, you put on your boots. You need rubber boots, you put those on. You need tennis shoes or flip-flops, whatever the case may be. Maybe you're going to the beach. But the reality is that that's something that you think about the first thing before you leave. You ever think about that? It's the first thing you think about. Once you get going. When you start to get dressed, you think about what you're going to wear, where you're going comes into play, and that dictates what you put on. If you're going to an interview, you don't go barefooted. Hopefully, I wouldn't hire you. I mean, you know, unless you were in a serious jam, maybe I would have to consider the circumstances, right? But you do consider where you're going. And you apply the whatever you wear to that. So think about that when it comes to what and how you're prepared with the gospel. We got to know where we're going. We have to realize that we might come into contact with somebody we don't know and somebody that needs the gospel. Maybe, right? Actually, more than likely. More than likely. And I would say 9 times out of 10 you will. Now, whether you interact with them or not is not necessarily mandatory, but when I'm telling you 10 times out of 10 you're going to come into contact. If you go outside your house, past your block, you will come for sure into contact with an unbeliever. There's no doubt in my mind. So, preparation. You know, this is a big deal. You know, it's like in the same way you think about what you're going to wear before you leave. I mean, don't we think about Jesus and our spiritual life right when we wake up or shortly thereafter? We do, right? And usually Bible study takes place, or at least a devotion that you do maybe, or something, prayer. You know, this should go along with that. That's how important this is, because look, it's in the armor of God. That's how important it is. So it needs to be a part of our preparation. And I might add that part of preparation includes prayer. Prayer. Do you realize you can pray about the experiences that you have and the people you evangelize? You can pray for those situations. You can pray for those people. You can pray for those opportunities. You can pray for the circumstances. You can pray for the outcomes. I mean, there's so much you can pray about. You can even pray to stay prepared. Help me be prepared at the times I need to be prepared. Help me not to be nervous. you can ask for the conversation to come up. Because sometimes the conversation just won't come up. Sometimes it's unspoken, unsaid. And you know, sometimes it needs to be. I'm not saying you need to talk about it all the time. But there's certain times where it needs to be brought up. It needs to be brought up, right? And so we've got to know these times, and we have to realize that God is definitely aware that we're willing. And I think that's the main point. If we're willing to do this, that's, I think, all you need to be. If you're willing. God can use a prepared believer. It doesn't matter if he's immature or mature or somewhere in the middle. If he's willing, he's going to use you. Doesn't matter. It does not matter where you are in the spiritual life. If you're willing to move forward, God is going to, he's going to honor that willingness. Because, you know, that's big. That is a big deal. If someone's willing to do something, I mean, do you know how much of a life changer, game changer that is in your own personal life? I mean, you've all experienced, if you want someone to do something they're willing to, you know how much easier your life is versus them not being willing? It's hard to get somebody to do something, or if they do it, they're going to do it with a grudge or you know, kind of in frustration if they don't want to. But if they're willingly, they want to do it, I mean, it is a game changer, right? Because this is coming not from you, it's coming from them. They're the ones that want to do it, and they're doing it from a right attitude. It's the right motivation. You're not making them, or you're not pressuring them. See what I mean? And you know, as much as God wants us to do this, we have to want it. We have to want it. And I'm not saying that's going to come automatic either. And I'm not saying you're going to just jump for joy when you say, all right, I just want to go evangelize. That's not the case. It's not the case. I'm sorry to tell you. It's not the case. But it should be a desire to see people saved and want to take part in that process. We could at least start somewhere and move over to this area of seeing a lost person found. We can. I mean, that's just where the start is. But at the end of the day, I think if we're willing, guess what else we want to do? Get prepared. See, that's what we want to do. If we're willing, we want to prepare to be able to do. If you're not willing, you won't be prepared. You won't be prepared. And honestly, I don't think there's a lot of, I feel like there's not a lot of Christians who are being prepared or who are prepared. And the result of that shows because they're unwilling to partake in evangelizing, which is a sad thing. So the preparation of the gospel, this is important. You kind of look at this as, this is interesting because it's in the context of spiritual warfare. Think about that. I mean, this is in the context of fighting a spiritual battle. That's what it is in, right? The armor of God. I mean, we've got three commands that are actually leading up to this, but you can understand very quickly why we have to be ready with the gospel at all times, wherever we go and whatever experience we go through. Because we're dealing with spiritual warfare. So you could look at this as your protection, defense, and I would even say offense against the enemy is exactly what this is. This is a weapon. This is a weapon, by the way. It's not just something that you carry. It is a weapon that defeats instantly when it's received. So we've got three commands before we get up to verse 14, and I wanted you to see these. First, it says, I backed up to verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That's the first one. That's a command, by the way. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. See, we're leading up to putting on his armor, right? Look at the second one. Put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. In other words, it's his armor. We're putting it on. We're putting it on. It's nothing that we did, nothing that, you know, it's something that he has provided for us so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. okay, now we're talking about the devil. The gospel, we're talking about the devil now. If we want to be prepared against the schemes of the devil and to be able to stand firm against those, preparation with the gospel is a big, huge part of that. A huge part of that. Never really think about how the gospel is of utmost importance in the devil's world. It is. It's actually the most important, because that's the one thing he does not want people to know about, is that information that you have with you. That's the one thing that Satan can't stand and he does not want to get out. He loves a Christian who does not talk about it. He loves a Christian who does not share. He loves a Christian who does not present the solution to people's problems. And now I'm referring to spiritual problems. Right? He loves it. So, I know we all want to stand firm against the schemes. We all want to put on the full armor. And here's verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. You know, three commands leading up to what we're talking about in our verse. And one is put on and one is take up. So it's not saying just put it on and sit on the couch. Don't put on the armor and just sit there and take selfies. It's saying, and post, even post them. You can go post them. That's still not taking up, right? Take up the full armor of God. In other words, take it up. Do something with it. Right? Bring it to the next level instead of just putting it on. This is something that is to means to take it to the next step. So, you noticed a trend in all these verses. The result of putting on the armor with the gospel of peace, but also being able to stand firm in this, right, in the schemes of the devil, allows us to resist him in the evil day in which we find ourselves. Resistance and standing firm are huge. I mean, we cannot stand firm without the preparation, is all I'm trying to tell you. We can't do it. We can't do it. And there's more, because look what the bottom says. It says, in having done everything to stand firm. Everything. You know, I don't know about you, but you may not think about the gospel like this, but it's the single most important thing when it comes to spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. And if we're going to look back and say, I did everything, this has got to come in the conversation. It has to. You don't send a soldier to the front lines without a gun. Just like you don't send a Christian in the world without preparation with the gospel. Or you shouldn't. It's the same analogy. It's the same exact situation. You're on the front lines. The front lines. The world, that's the world. Satan and evil and people that are lost and deceived, hopefully looking for the truth, that's the front lines. That's where you are. That's where I am. When we leave this building, we're on the front lines dealing with evil, the enemy, and lost people. You can't get any more close than that. Can't get any closer than that. So look how much more important that preparation with the gospel comes into play. Front lines, you certainly need the preparation with the gospel. Certainly, certainly. Because we want to say that, right? We want to say, I did everything, having done everything to stand firm. Well, that includes being prepared. Being prepared. So, you know, when a person, I mean, you think about what takes place when a person accepts the gospel message. Think about what happens. That's the moment when Satan is defeated in their life, in their personal life. We know that Satan was defeated on the cross, positionally. But guess what? That has to be applied to each person individually. Jesus already did it. But until a person gets to the point where they accept and apply that to their own personal life, Satan will rule their life. Satan will rule their life. So you see where the battle comes in. It's up and close and personal because we are the ones that carry the weapon that defeats the enemy and people, but they have to choose to accept it. They have to choose to accept it. And I don't want to present it like it's a bad thing, right? It's not a weapon to go destroy people. It's a weapon to destroy their enemy. Their enemy in their life, which is sin, Satan, and hell. All three of those are bound up in the gospel message, and it just sticks the sword right in every one of them. Personally, individually. Individually. So this isn't something that we can just take lightly. It's not something we can take lightly. You know, what Jesus did on the cross, we know has massive implications to the world. And when you think about what he did, he gave that to us, and he expects us to go have an impact with what he did to other people through us. That's pretty big. I mean, that's huge. And guess what? It doesn't happen if you don't do it. It doesn't happen. Jesus is not going to come back to the earth and start evangelizing because we're not doing our job. He expects prepared believers to do it. That's what he expects. And that's the same thing when he was here on the earth. He expected prepared believers to take part and to prepare, which, you know, he did. He prepared the apostles, you know. And so there's the time period that we have to prepare. But this is telling me you've got something very, very powerful, and it can neutralize Satan. It can render him powerless in people's lives. That's how powerful it is. That's how powerful the gospel message is. We don't often think about it like that. We kind of blow it off and say this, that. Well, you know what? Look what the effects of it can do. Change people's entire lives. I'm not saying they're going to instantly change. They're going to instantly start hallelujah, on fire for the Lord. I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you is that they're going to be in heaven forever with God, with Jesus Christ. They have a decision to make on what they do with what they've been given and with the gift that they've been provided with eternal life, right? Hopefully they grow. Hopefully they expand on that. But the reality is, that's what we've been given. That's what God has given us. So I would say that is a huge privilege. It's a huge privilege, and it's also a responsibility if you think about it. It's a huge responsibility, and it's a huge privilege at the same time. Both of those things are you know, I mean, massive, massive. You just, we can't take it lightly. We can't take it lightly. And that's another motivation for the series, is how powerful it is, the effects it has. And I mean, think about the people that we have in our country. It's ripe for this subject. It is ripe. It's like a fruit that's ready to be eaten, right? It is so ripe, it is ready to be just, people need to start preparing because we're going to need it. We're going to need it. So unless we understand that preparation is something that must happen beforehand, and that it's not done, you know, a one and done kind of scenario, I think we're better off. Because so many people think they can go to some course, go to this class, go to that, and all of a sudden now they're, you know, an evangelist. Look at this, I got the certificate, I'm an evangelist. Wow. Really? I mean, this takes spiritual growth. This takes time. I mean, this is something that takes a building of your own personal character to be able to be prepared with the information that God is trying to do through us. I mean, it's not just a certificate. It's not just a school. It's not just a seminary. It's not even just a church. It's your personal spiritual growth. It may include those things. Obviously, hopefully it includes the church, right? But the reality is that's not the source. The source is what's in your soul. What's in your soul? And if that's not growing, I would say we have a bunch of unprepared Christians today. Unprepared. We do. Honestly, let's be honest. We got a bunch of unprepared Christians. And when I was thinking about this, the word unprepared in the Christian life, isn't that really the same thing as a refusal? Yes, it is. I use the word unprepared, but all that is a Christian saying, no, I don't want to do that. I want to live this way. I want to live that way. I want to go to this church because it's popular. I have a lot of friends. It's emotional. It just fits the bill and it checks that box off. Okay, that's fine. You can do that, but what you're doing is you're minimizing the priority of the truth of the Word of God in place of something else. And what happens as a result of that is they're unprepared. They're unprepared in the evangelizing. They're unprepared in the content of what they should do and what they should think, which is the will of God, by the way. What we should do and what we should think is the will of God. If you're not learning the will of God, I would say you're in the wrong place. We should all be learning about God and how He thinks and what He wants from us. If we're not making decisions that are geared around God's Word, that standard is in our mind about how we live, what are we doing? What are we doing? Right? So preparation is lacking. It's lacking. And you know what? Being unprepared in the military is when a soldier refuses a command or rebels against lawful authority. Do you realize what that's called? Treason. Treason. I mean, we got a bunch of treasonous Christians. They're saying, no, I don't want to do that. Why is it called treason? Because it gives an advantage to the enemy. That's why. When we say, no, I don't want to shoot that enemy. I don't want to be a part of your war. Well, that's treason because we are giving an advantage to the enemy. So when we say, no, I don't want to spread your gospel message. I don't want to do that. What are we doing? Giving an advantage. It's treasonous. It really is. It's treasonous. And I think we should all realize that because, you know, just because we're unprepared doesn't mean that God can't use you. As long as you're willing, right? Let's never forget that part. Part of the process of being prepared, you know, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. I mean, if we're starting right now, so be it. Let's start right now. All I'm saying is that at least if I can take you and you could be willing to go to the next step. That's all we're talking about, right? Don't give the enemy the advantage. Don't give the enemy the advantage. But that's what Satan loves. He loves unprepared Christians. He loves that because he knows they won't say a word about Jesus Christ. And we've all been there. I mean, you know, We've all been there. But I'm just telling you, that's what Satan likes. He does like that. And it makes sense because if you're not going to talk about Christ, guess what? Christ isn't going to be known. At least at that point, right? At least at that moment. So I think we need to take some of these things seriously because we got so many commands that help us to prepare. Help us to prepare. We see what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to think. You know, God tells us even, you know, He guides us. He divinely guides us even in where we're supposed to be in life. So if He can do that, you can imagine He's placed you there for a very specific reason. You are where you are for a reason, and I believe, obviously, one of those reasons is this subject we're talking about. It certainly is. It certainly is. No doubt. No doubt. So many people out there that, you know, need Jesus Christ. And, you know, all these things kind of go back to what we think and how we think about Christ. Doesn't it? It does. And what we think and how we think about other people that aren't like you. Oh, well, I can't talk to them. I can't go over there, right? Oh, they just make me so angry. I can't stand when they do that, right? We're on pins and needles. We're angry. We're frustrated. You think you're going to talk about Jesus Christ in that moment? No. You might get arrested if you let it, you know, keep going. But, you know, we have to learn how to think, and we have to understand that this is rooted in what you think about Christ. What's more important? Whatever a person is doing and how they're acting, or your responsibility to present the gospel message? See, what obviously we know what's more important. But it's funny how when we get in a situation like that, boy, we get all bent out of shape because, you know, there's certain things that just get up under your skin and you can't stand them. And so it ruins the opportunity to serve the Lord in that particular instance. I can see everybody's agreeing with me because it's true. I mean, there's certain things that get under everybody's skin. You're human. You're human. And so you have to think about that thing, because that thing may be keeping you from serving in a very specialized way, and it could open your, you know, your whatever, your options there when it comes to evangelization. So you got to think about that, because how you think about other people comes into play here. It's part of being prepared, whether you know it or not. Because if you can't be around other people without being judgmental, without getting annoyed, or without having any patience, you get angry. If you can't do that, how are you ever going to be able to talk about Jesus to them? How are you going to ever be able to give them a free gift? I mean, you can give them a bunch of anger, frustration, anxiety, but how are you ever going to be give them something that they don't even deserve? All you want to give them is what you think they do deserve, which is an attitude. Where does that come into play with evangelization? It doesn't. It shouldn't. But sometimes we do that. Well, you know, we do. I mean, we're human. So sometimes we mess up. And it gets the best of us. But I'm just making the point. It does ruin the opportunity. And the reason for that is, I want to say this really quickly, because the reason we don't talk about it, about Jesus, and the reason our attitude is like that towards other people is because we're too focused on ourselves. We're too focused on ourselves. It happens. There's self-righteousness and there's arrogance. And when it becomes about us, look out. Other people will get mowed down from our bad attitude, from our, whatever the case. Judgmental attitude. All of a sudden now we're talking bad about everybody and their mother instead of giving them the good news of the gospel. I know you know somebody like that. Every time you get around them, they just run people down. How are they going to present the gospel message? It's impossible. They can't give anything good to anybody except run them down. There's a lot more to life than running people down. So you can't be focused on yourself. You got to be focused on Christ. And when we're focused on Christ, it opens that door up to not letting things bother you in the same way that they did here. I'm not saying they're going to go away, because they won't. There's going to be the same goofball people out there that there were before you experienced that, right? People have no common sense, no manners, no anything. And some things, I don't know why their mama didn't teach them what the heck's going on here, and it just boils your skin. Well, think about it differently. Think about it differently. If they didn't learn, they didn't learn. That's all they know. They're lost. They don't have Christ. You expect them to have manners, integrity? You expect them to tell the truth? You expect them to do all these things that you do? No. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So, they're people, right? And at the end of the day, we've got to be understanding. We've got to be patient. And we can't just go off the rocker for no reason because it's something we don't approve of or we don't like. So anyways, let's go ahead and take a pause there, and then you can take your break, and we will pick back up when we come back. So let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the positive people that are here who are willing to know what it's all about, to not only serve you, but to give you and your life that you gave us to other people. And it all happens through Jesus Christ. And we're so grateful and thankful that you have given us the gospel of reconciliation to reconcile other people in their relationship to you. You've given us that ministry. And we just thank you so much to be able to present Jesus Christ, not only to talk about him, but to offer him as a free gift to people. Not only did he die for them, but he made that available to them to give to them freely if they simply believe in him. Belief, faith, that's it. It's not a ministry that's hard. It's so easy, in fact, that God has given it to us and he expects it to be exactly that way, just like it is in his word. It's free. It's by grace and through faith. And we're just so thankful that it's by grace because we give it by grace. Just as your word does and just as you do. We thank you for the opportunity and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.